Welcome to our future. No longer are we making shoes. We are making 2.5 feet of irresistible tubular sex. So let's do it.
I punch the holes.
I sew the seams. And I pull the leather tight.
I put the steel inside the heel.
Glamorous fashion exhibition.
I see flashbulb lights and fashion heights.
I see press and television.
Let me hear you say yeah.
Elliot Forrest in for Leonard Lopate. A shoe factory on the verge of bankruptcy may not seem like a likely setting for a hit Broadway musical, but Kinky Boots, in which a drag performer helps a British factory revive its business by making a line of sexy women's boots in men's sizes, has not only hit it big at the box office, it also won 6 Tony Awards, including Best Musical, Best Score, and Best Actor, for which its 2 male leads, Billy Porter and Stark Sands, were pitted against each other. And it's on stage now at the Al Hirschfeld Theater. It's a pleasure to welcome Billy Porter and Stark Sands. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
So let me start with you, Stark. Was it a little difficult building up to the Tony Awards, knowing that both of you were nominated?
No, it wasn't. It was such, I didn't expect the nomination for myself. I felt like I won, and it was over.
It's just an honor to be nominated.
It really, truly is, because there's a lot of people this year that weren't, and I think maybe should have been. I wish the field was a little bigger. But I am very happy with who won the actual award.
And that would be Mr. Billy Porter.
Hello.
Your Best Actor Tony.
Yes.
And this
thank
was
you.
The first one, right? This is the first time you've won a Tony, right?
Yes. First time I've been nominated and first time I've won.
So I'm guessing some people watch you and go, oh, overnight success.
overnight success in 25 years, yes.
Give us a little sense of that, because you were born in Pittsburgh, highly trained. You've been a lot of training going on in your life.
Yes. I went to the Creative Performing Arts High School. I went to Carnegie Mellon in the drama program in Pittsburgh as well. I went to the screenwriting program at UCLA. You know, I'm one of those people that likes to actually know what the rules are so that I can then consciously break them. I've been plugging away here in New York City for about 23 years. And overnight.
I think a lot of us saw you in Greece. You were Team Angel.
Which was 20 years ago.
I won't count if you won't count.
Listen, yeah. I'm counting all of them.
All right.
It's like the rings of a tree.
And Stark, not exactly a newcomer. I saw you in Journey's End, right? So you were on Broadway.
That was when I was a newcomer. That was my first job here in theater, in New York City theater. And I'm pinching myself because it's been 6 years since then, and I'm on my third Broadway show. I'm on my 8th production in New York, and I'm not a newcomer anymore. I was owning that when I started, and in Journey's End, I was playing this sort of earnest newcomer in the trench, and it worked. And now, in this production, I'm one of the people that has credits.
You're the old one.
I'm becoming one of the old guys.
Right.
I'm older, but he's one of the older ones.
Yeah, we are in the same category.
Born in Texas.
That's right.
Like me. Were you trained there as well? Did you leave right away?
Or? I left. Sorry. I went to, I grew up in Dallas, and then I went to California and got my BFA at the University of Southern California. I stayed there because it was L.A. and because I was trained as an actor and really wanted to do Broadway, but I was already in L.A. and I knew my way around, and I thought, okay, let's try this. So I got lucky, and I started working in television and film. And
6 Feet Under. You had a regular role on that.
Well, it was my first job. I had 2 episodes on 6 Feet Under, and then other television shows I got to be a part of. A few pilots that went nowhere, a few pilots that went somewhere, but nothing big. And Journey's End happened because I was in a film called Flags of Our Fathers that was a World War II film. And Jay Binder, who's a casting director in New York, saw me in the movie and said, I'm looking for a young, earnest soldier. Does Stark ever do theater?
And there you are.
Yeah.
And what has Kinky Boots meant to you to be in this production?
So much. So much. I remember during Journey's End being in the audience at the Tonys and watching the musical numbers get up and perform and thinking to myself, as a musical theater kid from high school, oh, I'd love to do a musical someday. And so like I said, here I am, and I'm on my second musical, and this one happened to win the big award. So it's an amazing feeling to be a part of it, and to be a part of it, but especially to be sort of leading the charge.
As a lot of people know, eight performances a week. Mm. Usually, I mean, this is a grueling schedule. Yet on your night off last night, you were at Birdland?
No, he was.
Oh,
at
you were
Birdland.
At Birdland.
Yeah,
you were at Birdland.
I was
on your
not
night
at
off. You were sleeping.
I wasn't sleeping, but I wasn't at Birdland.
I was at Birdland. Frank Wildhorn. I worked with Frank on
composer of many musicals.
Yes, Bonnie and Clyde is one of them.
Right.
I did the out of town run of Bonnie and Clyde in La Jolla. At the La Jolla Playhouse. So I have a relationship with Frank, and he reached out and asked me if I would do a couple songs for him in Birdland, and it was an honor to be on that stage singing his stuff.
Let's talk about this musical. It's Kinky Boots has a very interesting history based on a British film, which was based on a real story?
Yes.
Yes.
It is based on a true story. That's all I know.
I can tell you
about
a little
it.
More.
Yeah.
There was a man named Steve Pateman who was in this situation. His factory was going to go under, and he received a custom order from someone who was looking for fetish footwear for men. And the BBC covered it and put it on there, a kind of a 60 Minutes, a version of 60 Minutes they have over there. And it was, people responded to it. And some film producers saw it and turned it into a film. And the film premiered at Sundance. Our producers saw it at Sundance and decided to turn it into a musical.
And did you talk, Harvey Fierstein, who wrote the book, did he talk to either one of you of why this story, why he really wanted to take this on and bring it to the stage?
Well, I think that the producers went to Jerry Mitchell. This is sort of
the progression.
Evolution.
Yeah.
The producers went to Jerry Mitchell. Mm-hmm. Daryl Roth went to Jerry Mitchell with her partner.
Who was the director?
Who's the director with Hal Leftig. She partnered with Hal Leftig. And went to Jerry Mitchell. And then Jerry's suggestion was Harvey. And Harvey saw the movie and thought, you know, yes, this is a great thing. I could find my way into this. And then his suggestion was Cindy, because he had known Cindy. And
Cindy Lauper.
Yeah, Cindy
Lauper.
Who
wrote the lyrics.
Absolutely.
And the music.
Yep.
And do you know why he wanted to pick her? She had no experience in a Broadway show.
I don't. But, you know, I think, I mean, I hear this so often, and I just think, you know, people, it's like she's one of the greatest pop writers of our generation. You know, I mean, when you go back to fundamentally her lyrics and her hooks, when you think about the stuff that she's written, I mean, yes, Girls Just Want to Have Fun is sort of like a fun pop tune, but listen to those lyrics. You know, listen to Time After Time. Mm. It's like, you know, she's always been a person that has written extraordinary music, you know? And so I think for me, it just felt natural as a person from the outside looking in. It felt like a natural choice to me. And luckily, it kind of panned out that way.
Yeah, it seemed to work out for everybody.
Yeah.
What kind of research did you do on making shoes?
My wife is English, so I go over to England more often than I would without her. And one time we were there before Kinky Boots, and when I'd been cast, but we hadn't done the out-of-town run, and I went to Northampton, and I went to a shoe factory that still makes shoes the way that my character's shoe factory makes them in the beginning. And I got a tour, and they showed me how to take a piece of leather and turn it into a men's brogue. And it was really cool because I got to see the types of people that were there, and I got an understanding of the vibe in that sort of men, like handmade shoes. From there, Jerry Mitchell did the same thing, took a lot of photos and videos and shared it with the entire cast so we could sort of immerse ourselves in that world.
Elliot Forrest in for Leonard Lopez, talking to Billy Porter and Stark Sands from Kinky Boots. Billy, you play Lola.
Yes, I do.
He's a drag performer.
A gender illusionist.
Illusionist. Wait, I'm making a note here. I'm changing my notes. Gender illusionist. Okay. Ever done a character like this before?
I have not to this extent. You know, sometimes I have dressed up in drag in a play for a scene, you know, or something like that. But it's never sort of been at this kind of high-end professional level, you know, with designers and makeup artists and costumes and fabulousness and wigs and, you know, all of that.
And what did you say during the Tonys? The foundation garments.
The foundation.
Not a phrase I say very often.
She said, make sure you have the proper foundation garments.
Was there any fear that you know, might be too caricature, that the real goal was to make her, it seems that the real goal is to make her, you, him, as real and
absolutely.
And as emotional.
Well, one
connected.
Of the things that attracted me to the character is the three-dimensionality of Lola and how she/he is a real human being. And we get to see that part in the play. We get to see that evolve. We get to see that evolution. And as an actor and as an artist, those are the types of parts that I have been seeking out. So it's been amazing to be able to have all the flash and have all the sort of like over the top fabulousness that I am equated with, but also then be able to delve into the humanity of this human being. And I love that.
I don't want to give too much away. Maybe it's not. I don't know. It's not too much. But to say that when you come on as Lola in your full fabulousness and your mm-hmm. gender illusionist, and then when you come on in Average Guy Wear, it's almost shocking to the audience. People are taken aback by it to a certain degree.
You can feel the audience sort of gasp when they see that.
Yeah.
Which is so cool. You know what I mean? It's like the opposite. It's like they get used to seeing me as a lady.
Right.
They get used to it. They get comfortable with it. Everybody's happy with it. And then all of a sudden, I'm a man. And that actually is the surprise. Yeah. And that's really, really, you know, that's amazing.
And working in heels, I mean, you both have to do that. How difficult was that?
You know, I'm the guy that was, you know, putting on my auntie's high heel shoes when I was a kid. So it wasn't very difficult for me to walk in them. I had to get used to the amount of time.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't the actual walking in them or dancing in them. It was the amount of time that I had to be in them that I sort of had to build those muscles to make sure that they could be strong enough to where I wouldn't be in pain. But the actual sort of existing in them had already, for me, that was already there.
And Stark, you gotta put them on as well.
I do.
How was that for you?
It's a wonderful experience. It's something I probably wouldn't do in my regular day-to-day life. But it's the beautiful thing about being an actor is you get to do a lot of things that you wouldn't otherwise. They are made for our feet. You know, they are sculpted and made for my exact feet. So they're not painful for me. I only wear them for 10, 15 minutes. But they're real. They're 6-inch stilettos. No joke. And so I don't have, like, my toes aren't getting pinched. It's not painful. But my muscles, as Billy said, are getting a workout that they haven't before.
And I guess everybody who works on the show, even the people who come in, have to put them on and work.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to know how to do them. Your two characters, Charlie and Lola, both sort of have a feeling of having disappointed their fathers a little bit. And there's a beautiful song called I'm Not My Father's Son. Why don't you talk about that from each of your perspectives?
My relationship with my family has always been one of support and encouragement. And so I really get to listen during that song. Most of the song is my character listening to Lola, Simon, sing about this. And it's fresh every night, you know. I really get to imagine what it was like. And it's a beautiful moment. The whole audience, you can hear them listening, if that's possible.
Well, got about a minute. And your feeling about that song?
I just feel like, you know, my relationship with my father was strained at best. And this moment in the show and this character allows for me to experience a healing, I think, you know, in my personal life through this character. And I think that's really amazing. It's amazing.
Such a great musical. I've been speaking with Billy Porter and Stark Sands, two of the stars of the hit musical Kinky Boots. We have ticket information on our show page at wnyc.org. Billy and Stark, it's been a pleasure to see you today, and we're going out with that song. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
If I was strong and fought, not like some albatross, I'd begin to